The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Greetings, everyone. I'm Jennifer Green for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Teen Magazines. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from theteenmagazine.com. Our first article today from theteenmagazine.com. So, what's up with Wuthering Heights? Controversy behind the movie explained. This article was written by Shalene Carheel on March 11th. If you have been on any social media in the past 2 weeks, you've heard of the controversy around the new Margot Robbie exclusive movie, Wuthering Heights. You've probably noticed a mix of love and hate surrounding the movie. Some people loving the modern spin and sensual retelling, or book lovers hating the movie and its disregard for the source material. The controversy is rooted in book fans feeling as though the movie is not an adaptation at all. Who is the writer behind Wuthering Heights? Wuthering Heights is a movie written by Emerald Fennell, known for films like The Jarring Saltburn, whose aesthetic caught viewers' attention in 2023, and Promising Young Woman, another Academy Award-winning film that dealt with themes of sexuality and abuse. Adaptation done right? This movie has sparked deep controversy over whether it is truly an adaptation of Wuthering Heights. Many fans argue that Fennell ignored the book's material and used the name Wuthering Heights for fame and attention. The book and the adaptation feel like two entirely different stories, one focusing on love, loss, and discrimination in a dark time in history, and one focusing on the aesthetic of history while modernly and sensually creating an entirely different version. With 59% on Rotten Tomatoes, one can't help but wonder if this movie missed the mark. But why? When artists go into making an adaptation, it should stick to the original themes and motivations of the story. However they do it is up to them, but at the heart of the movie, it should remain the same. A great example of this is Frankenstein. Frankenstein was a movie released in 2025 by Guillermo del Toro, which was his adaptation of the book. Plot-wise, the adaptation was very different from the novel. As someone who read the original text, many plot lines and storylines were taken out. Did you know that Elizabeth died at the hands of the monster in the book? However, the adaptation still kept the root of the novel and was able to translate that. The book and the adaptation answered the same question and carried the same themes and characters. What happens when man tries to play God? Overall, it felt like a Frankenstein adaptation, with aesthetic, timeline, characters, and dialogue that aligned with the heart of the story. Wuthering Heights, as Fennell said, seems to be a fantasy with just the name of the book and characters used. Where did Fennell go wrong? I think that Fennell's movie could have been better received if it wasn't called Wuthering Heights. When you name the movie after the book, you are held to the expectation that this is a true adaptation. Readers are going to look for certain scenes, themes, and story beats, and it is right that they should. But is it truly an adaptation if it ignores many of the story's plots to the point where it is unrecognizable? Fennell could have saved herself some backlash by naming the movie something entirely different and saying that she was inspired by Wuthering Heights. That would have fueled fans to go see the movie and perhaps even deem it an original idea. With the name change, it would have been easier to explain away the modern outfits, aesthetic, dialogue, and tones of sensuality in the film. However, I think she later realized this, as reflected in this quote. "I'm not saying I'm making Wuthering Heights," says Fennell. "What I can say is that I'm making a version of it. There's a version I remembered reading. It isn't quite real. And there's a version where I wanted stuff to happen and never happened. And so it is Wuthering Heights, and it isn't." In the title of the movie, two quotation marks cover the title Wuthering Heights, which emphasizes the idea of someone quoting something. Many fans argue this is problematic in itself. This brings up not only a question about this movie, but about other adaptations of old novels as well. Should an adaptation be a tight-knit, close-to-the-book film representation, or should it be loosely based on the ideology? The definition of a film adaptation is, "Film adaptation is the process of transforming a source material, such as a novel, play, video game, or true story, into a feature film or television show. It involves reinterpreting the original narrative, characters, and themes to suit the visual and auditory medium of cinema, balancing faithfulness to the original with the requirements of the new format." Big controversy. The controversy around this film is layered, but one of the defining issues many have is the casting of Jacob Elordi and Margot Robbie in the main roles of Heathcliff and Catherine Earnshaw. Wuthering Heights by Emily Bronte tells the story of Heathcliff, an orphan adopted into the Earnshaw family and raised at the isolated estate of Wuthering Heights. Heathcliff forms a deep and intense bond with Catherine Earnshaw, but social class and ambition complicate their relationship. When Catherine chooses to marry the wealthier Edgar Linton instead of Heathcliff, she sets off a chain of events driven by heartbreak and revenge. The novel has a dual timeline spanning two generations and explores themes of obsessive love, social status, cruelty, and redemption. In the book, Heathcliff is described as a dark-skinned gypsy. He is also described as being found by Mr. Earnshaw starving in Liverpool, a major 18th to 19th century port city tied to global trade and the transatlantic slave trade. Heathcliff has long been interpreted as a person of color, which contributes greatly to the story and to why his and Catherine's relationship could never work. This aspect is a great deal and central to his story in the book, but it was ignored with the casting of Australian white actor Jacob Elordi. Many fans requested actors such as Dev Patel, known for Monkey Man, 2024, or Skins, 2007, to play Heathcliff. Many fans also do not like the film for its use of modernization and disregarding the 1800s timepiece that it is. The movie is bright, with outfits that look runway ready and a sensuality that was not in the novel. Many fans believe that the outfits were to gain TikTok and Instagram fame, not truly for the sake of the adaptation. Another controversial topic surrounding the film is the poster itself. The 2026 Wuthering Heights poster clearly mirrors the iconic 1939 Gone with the Wind artwork. While some may see it as a cinematic tribute, others see a problem. Gone with the Wind has long been criticized for romanticizing the 1930s vision of the American South and softening the realities of slavery. The film presents enslaved people as impressionable and loyal, blindly glosses over the horrible truth of plantation life, and leans into harmful Reconstruction-era stereotypes, including portraying black characters as dangerous. For many viewers, referring that imagery does not feel natural. The future of book-to-film adaptations. As a film fan, I think adaptations should focus on the truth of the story while creatively making decisions that are their own, but still truly centering what the original work is about. With many fans continuing to criticize this film, the true judgment ultimately lies in the hands of book lovers everywhere. Because when you adapt something that has lasted centuries, you are not just retelling a story, you are stepping into a legacy. Our next article from the teenmagazine.com, Youth Activism, Changemakers in the Face of Ignorance. This article was written by Gabriella Capaldo on March 3rd. You are at the table with your parents, and a political debate arises in the conversation. You give your opinion, but at that moment, everyone acts as if you said nothing, or even tells you not to interrupt the adults. Does that mean your opinion doesn't matter? That it's absurd? No. It means that you were ignored, despite your good ideas. Thousands of young people in the world have ideas, even good ones. Yet, just like you, no one listens to them. That is when some decided to rebel, and youth activism was born. What's youth activism? Youth activism is something fundamental and present in our daily life. More and more young people are becoming aware of these kinds of issues, from climate change to their rights as human beings, and it is something very positive. This involvement allows adults to have more constructive, younger opinions, or simply to hear what the future generation has to say, and they have a lot to say. Simple example, Greta Thunberg. Greta is a 23-year-old activist. She started with ecology and now engages in causes in Pakistan and many others. She has received several distinctions and is seen as an icon of Generation Z. In the summer of 2018, at the age of 15, she protested in front of the Swedish parliament against inaction on climate change. In November 2018, she launched the School Strike for Climate, in which she personally participated until June 2023. Translated from French, from Wikipedia. Of course, sometimes, even often, adults do not listen or do not care. Yet, it is more important than what they think. Why does being heard matter? Listening to young people's opinions helps create a more social and inclusive community, engages confidence and participation, promotes civic engagement, and supports young people who have not had the same opportunities as others. Being heard is a basic right and a form of politeness/respect in everyday life. Yet, some people do not take this into account. The fact of not being heard, psychologically speaking. Feeling ignored/not listened to causes frustration and the impression that what is being said is insignificant, that it is useless, or that the person should not have spoken. The person will have difficulty communicating, thinking that everything they say is stupid, and therefore will never give their opinion, will never be heard, and will feel that they don't matter. This chain reaction is harmful to human beings because expressing oneself is actually a good thing. It allows us to improve in response to constructive criticism, or even to reflect when we make mistakes. Without it, the world would be much more complicated than it already is. To add a personal anecdote, here it is. I was scrolling through Instagram and saw a video about an organization supporting a cause close to my heart. I went to the comments and saw a debate among several people. I decided to participate by giving my opinion on the situation. And the immediate response was, "What are you, 13 years old? You're a child who talks nonsense on social media." It's the same when I simply review a movie I liked on Reddit. This same expression keeps coming up. "What, are you 13 years old? You don't know what you're talking about." But as far as I know, knowledge about a subject doesn't depend on age, but on what we've learned. Age is not a factor in knowledge. Moreover, there are associations, programs, or even courses that help or guide you to speak up about causes that interest you. The resources made available. As I have just mentioned, resources are accessible to help us express ourselves. Here are a few. Youth Speaks, a national organization that helps young people express themselves through poetry or other creative performances and to make their voices heard in the world. Youth Service America, YSA, a large organization that engages young people ages 5 to 25 to participate in service projects, civic and community engagement. It offers training, resources, campaigns, and leadership opportunities so that young people can express themselves and act for the common good. After School Alliance Youth Ambassador Program, a national program that trains young people to become ambassadors of their own experiences, to write, speak in public, and defend their ideas in front of decision makers and media. In Tandem Youth Voice Fellowship, a program that encourages young people to express themselves, conduct research, and share their perspectives with some scholarships available for participants. Advocates for Youth, an organization that works with young people to defend their rights, particularly on reproductive health, social justice, and civil rights, and provides tools to engage locally. Amnesty International Youth and Students USA, the youth program of the American branch of Amnesty that allows young people to lead human rights groups, run campaigns, and acquire skills in organizing and advocacy. I have listed only 6, but there are hundreds for every continent, and I am sure you will find one that will make you feel most heard. Conclusion. Youth activism is something important, both for young people themselves and for building a better world, and it is important to listen to them, not ignore them. Our next article from theteenmagazine.com. How to know if you're actually burnt out or just tired. This article was written by Laura Hsu on March 4th. We all have days when we feel exhausted. You drag yourself out of bed, rely on caffeine to get through the afternoon, and promise yourself you'll go to bed earlier. Usually, a good night's sleep, a weekend off, or a short break is enough to reset. But what if it's not? In recent years, especially since burnout was officially recognized by the World Health Organization as an occupational phenomenon, more people have started asking a deeper question. Am I actually burnt out or just tired? The two can feel similar at first, but they are not the same. Understanding the difference can help you respond in the right way before things spiral. What being just tired really means. Tiredness is a normal physiological response. It usually comes from lack of sleep, physical exertion, short-term stress, a busy week, temporary emotional strain. When you're just tired, your body is asking for rest. The key word here is temporary. Signs you're just tired. You still care about your work or responsibilities. You may feel drained, but you haven't lost interest. Rest makes a difference. A long sleep, a day off, or even a quiet evening helps noticeably. Your mood is mostly stable. You might be irritable, but it passes. Your exhaustion feels physical more than emotional. Your body feels heavy, but your sense of purpose is intact. Tiredness is physical. It's the fatigue after a long day, a strenuous workout, or a night of poor sleep. It's specific and has a clear source. You know why you're tired. You did a lot. The key characteristic of tiredness is that it is restorative. You can sleep in on Saturday, take a nap, or have a quiet evening. And you wake up on Sunday feeling significantly better, ready to face the week ahead. What burnout actually is. Burnout is more complex. According to the World Health Organization, burnout is a syndrome resulting from chronic workplace stress that has not been successfully managed. It is characterized by three main dimensions: emotional exhaustion, depersonalization or cynicism, reduced professional efficacy. Unlike tiredness, burnout is not fixed by a single good night's sleep. It develops over time and seeps into how you think, feel, and behave. Burnout is emotional and mental exhaustion. You can sleep for 10 hours and wake up feeling just as heavy and hollow as when you went to bed. It's not your muscles that ache, it's your spirit. This exhaustion seeps into everything, making even minor tasks, such as responding to a text or deciding what to eat, feel monumentally draining. Key differences between burnout and tiredness. 1. Duration. Tired, short-term, improves with rest. Burnout, long-term, persists despite rest. If you take a vacation and come back feeling just as depleted, that's a red flag. 2. Emotional state. Tired, you are fatigued, but still emotionally engaged. Burnout, you feel detached, numb, or cynical. You may start thinking, what's the point? I don't care anymore. Nothing I do makes a difference. That emotional withdrawal is one of burnout's strongest indicators. 3. Motivation. Tired, motivation dips temporarily. Burnout, motivation collapses. Burnout often includes a sense of helplessness. Tasks that once felt meaningful now feel pointless. You may procrastinate not because you're lazy, but because your system feels overwhelmed and depleted. 4. Cognitive impact. Tired. You're foggy, but you can focus once rested. Burnout, chronic brain fog, difficulty concentrating, forgetfulness. Burnout affects executive function. You might reread the same email 3 times or struggle to make simple decisions. 5. Physical symptoms. Burnout can mimic chronic stress responses, frequent headaches, gastrointestinal issues, sleep disturbances, even when exhausted, increased illness. This happens because prolonged stress keeps your nervous system activated. Over time, your body stops bouncing back easily. The solutions. If you are tired, the solution is relatively straightforward. Rest. A vacation. A weekend off. A good night's sleep. And setting boundaries for a short period will likely restore your equilibrium. If you are burnt out, a simple vacation won't help. In fact, burnt out people often return from vacation feeling more anxious because they haven't addressed the root cause. Recovering from burnout requires systemic change and reinvention. This might mean changing your relationship with your work, delegating tasks, saying no, or setting hard boundaries. Seeking professional help. A therapist can provide tools to manage stress and rebuild your sense of self, or help reevaluate your values and goals. Burnout often forces a confrontation with the question, "Is this really what I want to be doing with my life?" The best thing to do is to change what you have going on and taking a break. We've run out of time for today's episode of Teen Magazines. We hope you enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. I'm Jennifer Green, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Teen Magazines is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. We thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.